In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. Israel's world had collapsed around them. It was in utter ruins now. And the prophet Isaiah keeps preaching to them, giving them a hope, a picture of restoration. In Isaiah 65 and 66, this image of restoration and renewal comes to its absolute climax. The prophet, speaking on behalf of God, says to the people, "Look, I am creating a new heavens and a new earth. All things will be restored. The past that haunts you, where you have gone astray from me and caused destruction to my world, it will not be remembered. I will bring joy and gladness throughout the whole world. Weeping and sorrow will disappear. I will bring a new world of simple justice where people work and get to enjoy the labor of their own hands. It's not stolen away from them by rich landlords and powerful empires. You will work simple lives and you will eat. You will be taken care of. No more will infants die in their youth. You will live long, prosperous lives in this new world. In this new world, I will bring together prey and predator and remove the violence from among them. They will share a communal life. They will both eat straw together. No more violence of preying on the weak. The lion will eat straw. No more violence. No more destruction. No more hurting in this new world. A new heavens, a new earth I am creating. This will be my dwelling place. This heavens, this earth will be where I reside. You can't make a temple, a building for me to live in. I live in my creation. I will permeate every corner. I will be present. And those who will be present with me are those who are humble, who are contrite through the leading of the Spirit of God, those who tremble and listen to my word." This was Isaiah's beautiful, grand, climactic vision. A world made new, where justice, mercy, and love permeated every corner. And Israel loved this vision, but Israel didn't understand how this vision was unfolding. As their lives continued to lay in waste, the temple destroyed, their slaves in Babylon, they didn't understand how would this come to fruition. And then even when they returned from Babylon and they started living in the land again, they didn't understand how is God creating the world new. We don't see it the way they were expecting. And hundreds of years went by. At times this vision was lost, at other times people renewed it. But at the time of Jesus, he brings this vision back to the forefront of the people's minds. A new heavens, a new earth, where God is king, ruling over all creation. And this world is fixed and permeated with God's presence. But as people saw Jesus' life unfold, they continued to question, how, Jesus, is this grand vision playing out? The empire is still kicking our butts. We are slaves, we're poor, we're miserable, we're taken advantage of in almost every way. Where is your grand vision for God's kingdom, Jesus? And as Jesus lived for this vision, he was persecuted. The authorities clamped down on Jesus. And eventually everyone in Jerusalem saw it with their own eyes. This man who was talking about a world made new was nailed to a cross, crucified, rejected, a miserable failure. How could this man's humble vision of God bringing his kingdom into the world among us, how could it have been fulfilled? It was a failure, wasn't it? But 3 days later, something happened that the people of Israel never anticipated. The people of Israel had been longing for a resurrection at the end of history. That at the very end of time, God would raise his people from the dead. But 3 days after Jesus was crucified, living in his vision of a new world, his tomb was empty. And then the disciples started to get glimpses of this Jesus. They couldn't hold him, but he would pop up in front of them, and they would feel him and touch him, and he'd disappear. And the disciples started to put together in their heads, this changes everything. We had been looking for the resurrection of the dead at the end of history, the afterlife. But the resurrection of the dead has started right now in the middle of our lives. That means God's new world, the new heavens and the new earth, has started right now. And then 50 days later, after this grand event, a second thing happened that changed them forever. During the Pentecost festival, they were gathered in a room together praying. And a grand wind, a violent wind, we're told, starts to shake everything. And suddenly, Jesus returns through his Spirit, and he goes into the bodies of his disciples, and he fills them, and they're animated, and their lives are forever changed. They begin to live in a new way. We're told in Acts 2 and Acts 4 that these disciples drop everything. They hold all of their possessions in common. They do not say that anything belongs to anyone. They say, this is all God's, and we're going to share it to take care of each other. We're going to focus our entire lives on Jesus. We're going to listen to his teachings, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to live lives of love and healing as examples to this world. Because the pouring out of the Spirit was something the prophets hoped for. Ezekiel spoke about it. Jeremiah spoke about it. The prophets all yearned for the pouring out of the Spirit. But again, they thought the Spirit was coming at the end of history. The Spirit had come in the middle of history. The new world they were looking for from Isaiah wasn't a future hope. It was right now. The resurrection and the pouring out of the Spirit meant that God's new world is not something we have to look forward to. It is something that has come into our lives right now, in the present moment. This changed the entire course of the lives of thousands in Jerusalem and thousands more as this Spirit began to blow throughout the Roman Empire, transforming lives one at a time. As we look around our world today, I believe we still yearn, really collectively, honestly, for a new, better world. I think it's all over our political rhetoric and our culture. Promises from every corner of the political realm, promises that they will make our world a better, more beautiful place. It's really not much different than the promises of the prophets in the scriptures. And so whatever political party you've ever been associated with, or ever any nation, you hear really the same message, the promise of making a new world. But as we look around our world today, it's easy to doubt the presence of a new world. A new heavens and a new earth? I could just look through the Google News feed and I could give you millions of examples of how the world doesn't look new to me. Pain and violence and hatred and infighting and greediness in every corner. A world that actually seems more chaotic than it ever was. And yet in the midst of this, political leaders give us the promise that they're going to make things better. But actually, most importantly, in the midst of this, Jesus continues to claim that God's new world is not something to look forward to. It's something that exists right now. Where? Jesus? Where? The challenge of Pentecost is that when God comes to break into the world, to change the world, He does not start out there. The Spirit does not come upon the Roman Empire and its officials. The Spirit did not come upon the priestly establishment of the temple in Jerusalem. The Spirit did not come among the powerful and elites of the world who claimed they were making a new world. The challenge of Pentecost is, if you're looking for a new world from the powers and authorities and the political leaders and the nations and governments and corporations of our world, you are looking in the absolutely wrong place. The new world of God is not out there. And it would actually be easier if that's how God chose to work. But instead, He says to us today, those of us gathered around the word of Jesus, you want to see a new world? It's you. You are the new world that I have been working to create. Don't look to the corporations, the governments, the nations, the political leaders. I started with you. It's easy for us to sit here in this room and think about grand visions of changing the world, but Jesus comes to us today and says, I want to pour out my Spirit and change you. You. Jesus says, I'm not here to change them, those systems. I'm here to change you. This is a challenging reality. That God is telling us that we, as helpless and powerless as we may seem, gathered together a little group here around the word of Jesus, that God's new world for Kansas City does not start in the UG. It starts in the hearts of us. And that no systematic change to the corporations, the nations of our world will ever truly take root. The only thing that truly matters and the only lasting change is when an individual person is transformed from the inside out. Pentecost is the pouring out of the Spirit of Jesus Himself into our lives. The new creation, the new world that we long for, that we pray for, we are the answer. We have been called in our baptisms. We have been called every week through the word of Jesus to be a new creation. Paul put it in Romans chapter 8. The whole creation, the whole world is groaning in pain and corruption. We can see that with our own eyes, right? And the world is waiting for what? The revealing of God's children. The world is waiting for us to get our act together. And as Jesus said, or as Paul says about Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, anyone who is in Jesus is already a new creation. You, as you sit here today, listening to the word of Jesus, you may not think you are a new creation, but Paul asserts you are a new creation. God is at work in your life, in your heart, transforming you so that you will be the beginning seeds of a new world. So don't look for change out there. Look for the presence of God's world in this room. And the way that we love each other, the way that we can begin to be even more generous with each other, the way that we can lay down our lives for each other, the way that we can be a people who do not grab for power, who do not compete, who do not lift up our egos, but instead humble ourselves, racing to the bottom, saying, I will be a servant for you. As the Spirit penetrates our lives and our community in this place, God's new creation is present in the world. And we don't know how our lives will affect the world around us, but we trust that if God works to change my life, that He will, through that, spread beauty and love and new creation through me. A humble mystery that if I am the one willing to be changed and transformed, that through my simple everyday acts of love, the world will slowly but surely become a more beautiful place. So today, we are challenged by the Pentecost story to remember that God's new creation is present. It is here, and it has already started in your life. Don't get hung up on your past. Don't get hung up on where you have failed. Today, the Spirit is telling you, you are God's vehicle for His new world. Open your heart to His word again. Be transformed. The Spirit is blowing, changing our lives in a big way, that we may be a small influence to change the world around us. That is the way God's new world is coming in our lives today. Amen.